What did, and we'll talk about the Najwa as the wife, Omar as the son. What did Najwa think of Osama bin Laden as a husband?
She said that she loved him.
Even at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
That was shocking for me, because I could tell that Najwa, from the very beginning, she said, I will not talk about my husband's militant activities, because I did not know about them. I lived in Perda. I lived in isolation. My husband did not talk to me about his political and militant activities, but Omar talked about them. So I was able, and Omar, once he became a teenager, he became so much closer to his father. But Najwa, I could tell that she either respected him still highly or feared him.
Do they both believe he's still alive?
100%.
And I assume the border there between Afghanistan and Pakistan?
After this book came out and I heard that there was an audio that Osama had brought out about, and he was speaking about Jimmy Carter and Jimmy Carter's book on the Palestinian issue. Mm-hmm. And he said that Jimmy Carter was the only one who got it right. And I called Najwa. She was in Syria, and Omar happened to be there too. And I told Omar, I said, listen, your father's giving book reviews.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he laughed, and he told his mother in Arabic what I had said. And I said, I'd like to send him a copy of this book so he could see what his wife and son are thinking these days and how they're doing. How do I do that? And I heard Omar ask his mother that question, and I heard her laugh in the background. And she told Omar, she said, well, tell her just to send it to Osama bin Laden in Pakistan is all I know.
Jeez.
Yes.
Were you ever approached by Homeland Security or the CIA after these interviews?
No, I was not approached by them.
And
no.
Still to this day, nothing, huh?
I was not approached.
I would have expected them to be all over you.
Well, I suspect they read the book.
Yeah.
I'd
want your notes if I were them. You're not going to give them up, but still, I want them. Okay, so they still believe he's alive.
Well, Omar listens to all the audios for me, because when I hear they've come out, and you'll have the translation that will come out, and they'll be pondering over here, is this him or not? And I will call Omar, and it's painful for Omar to listen to his father. Despite the fact he disagrees with his father,
his father want to turn him into a suicide bomber?
Yes.
Yeah.
Despite that, he says to me, I don't agree with my father's actions, but I still love my father.
Are they convinced, and are you convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Osama bin Laden was, part of the entire 9/11 tragedy?
When I first started talking to Omar, he was hesitant about that. Najwa, of course, will not discuss it with me.
Right.
But Omar was hesitant about that. As time went on, I insisted, and he listened, and he looked at everything online to do with 9/11. And he was very, very pained by all of that. He was very upset. And then he admitted that he did not believe it until his father took credit for it. And he said, then I had to believe his own words.
Of course, some say, on this conspiracy end, that mm-hmm. those tapes were doctored, that voices were dubbed in, mm-hmm. that he didn't say what he said. So that, just
adds
fuel.
Well, Omar said that once, George. Not to me, but he had said that earlier. He had done a couple of interviews earlier, very, very light touch, not a book, not an in-depth interview, but he had a couple of television appearances, and he actually wondered about that. He speculated about it, because there are so many theories like that in the Middle East. He has heard those from everyone.
Is he concerned about his own safety because he went public with so many things?
Well, I asked him. There were several times when I spoke with him, and I had him to speak with his mother too. I said, if you feel that you are in danger, then we need to stop this. Because no book is worth you, your mother, and possibly your siblings being murdered. And I said, would your father harm you, Omar? And he was stunned. He said, never. My father would never. Now, his father beat him when he was a child.
He beat him?
Yes. he caned the boys. He was really quite rough on his boys, not the girls, but he beat the children. He was mean to those boys, which was such a shock for me when I saw and found out how he was. Omar told me he had the most miserable childhood.
They
were frightened of their father. He would take them out into the desert and make them march without water because he wanted them to be tough.
What are they living on? Did the father supply them with cash or?
No. They have had a very poor life.
Okay, so he's not supporting them.
No.
I assume most of Bin Laden's assets are frozen anyway, but I don't know.
That was done in 1994 or 95.
Way back
when they were in, when they were in Sudan, the Saudi government froze all of his assets.
Interesting.
Everything. And from that time on, I think Osama bin Laden, he did everything with, donations. They were living off donations from wealthy Muslims, basically. For his cause, but they lived very poorly. I mean, it was a shock to me. There were so many revelations like that because as he became more and more radical, he took more and more from his family. They would live in a big house, but they'd have no furniture. They had to eat very simple foods. They were not allowed to turn on any cooling, even in Saudi Arabia or when they lived in the Sudan. They were not allowed to use air conditioning. Nash was not allowed to turn on her stove. She had to cook on a little gas burner, a one-eye burner. When they lived in Afghanistan, they didn't even have electricity. Mullah Omar offered to have the electricity cut on at places they were living in, Kandahar, and Osama turned it down because he said everyone had to be tough.
Huh.
Yeah, it was amazing. He would take them out to the desert in Sudan, the wives, the children, even the babies, have the sons dig holes, and they had to sleep in the holes because he said they had to expect that. They had to be tough when they would cry and say we're cold because the desert gets very cold at night.
Plus, say, you've got those creepy crawly things out there, don't you?
Pardon?
You've got those creepy crawly things out there in the desert.
Which Najwa was terrified of. Poor Najwa. But she accepted all of this. Unbelievable, because, certainly as a Western woman, I was thinking, well, had I been Najwa, the minute Osama got in his hole, that would have been the end of him. But they do not think like we think in the West. I would react very badly to a situation like that. But she was in her marriage. The husband was the one who made the decisions, and she was quite accepting.
What did you find, Jean, to be probably one of the most shocking episodes when you talked to them?
Well, two things. One, in general, was how joyless their life was. When you see Osama bin Laden and he's talking, you can tell he's a serious person, and you tell he's certainly not someone who leans to gaiety. But he was so joyless, and he forced his children to be that way. How do you keep a child from who is naturally inquisitive, happy, smiling? How did he keep them from laughing and smiling? He counted their teeth. And if they smiled beyond their eye tooth, they would be caned.
Jeez.
They would get into serious trouble. And Omar said it became so bad that his younger brothers, if his father wasn't around, because younger children will emulate, their fathers when they get a little bit older, they'll, rebel. But even his younger brothers would start counting Omar's teeth if he smiled too wide and would run and report him to the father. And for me, that was such a shock to think about. Living in a house where all the joy had been sucked right out of that house. And think about having that many little children, but they're not allowed to laugh.
Does Omar have any quest to meet his father?
No, he has never said that he does. But I can tell that even Omar, he's a lovely person. He's very gentle.
How old is he?
But he's very sad. He's 28.
So, yeah.
He's 28 now, but I see there's a sense of great sadness. That's why it surprised me when I would chat to him over the phone and I'd hear Najwa laugh in the background, because he told me himself that laughter just didn't occur, even when you're seeing little children running around. Now, that was a shock. And, of course, the other revelation I told you, I was stunned to hear about such cockamamie ideas as taking your entire family out to the desert and making small children sleep in holes and cover with dirt and grass, because you're telling them one day the infidel West is going to attack, we're going to be on the run, and this is how you will have to live.